So about a month, maybe 2 months ago, I got together with the women's ministries team. I said, Bruce kind of mentioned that we could maybe take a month. And I said, I'd rather prepare now because I know him. He'll be like, you're speaking next Sunday. You know, and I'm like, ah. So we started praying about it, and we had come up with several topics, and but I wasn't seeing it jump on people's faces. You know, they're, oh, yeah, that's good. Yeah, yeah, that's good. But you just kind of know when Holy Spirit is, you know, when somebody comes, no, it's about perspective. How many have read or heard scripture or read what people have written or heard a sermon on your perspective lately? Yes. It is all, and I was like, why God? And I was just like thinking, wow, if you look at where we're at in this country even, perspective is huge. If it's ever a time, we need to know who we are, whose we are, and what we believe and stand for. And sometimes it takes somebody to ask you something, well, what do you believe about that? And you're like, oh, well, I don't know. I don't know what I believe. And so perspective can change for the good or for the bad. Now, I think in the spirit of this age over this country right now is to be whatever you want to be. That perspective. Be whatever you want to be. Do whatever you feel you should do. And go and be. And they pose this as freedom and happiness. And it's so scary to me. It's so scary because it really puts them in bondage. It puts them in a prison. They've chosen this prison because it doesn't bring life, does it? It doesn't bring life. Am I a hater? No, I love them. And I want to see life flow through them. I want to see happiness. I have met so many people that have no hope. They have no hope because they've tried. It's like with your little kids. You don't just let them do whatever they want or however they want. What happens? Not good. That's why it's better to do the hard right choice than the easy wrong choice. So we are going to be talking about perspective. And I thought it was fun because we were spending some time in prayer with a group of ladies, and my sister said Jesus came to her and said, there's going to be a revival of perspective. And revival means life. It's going to bring life to your perspective. And I was like, wow, that is so good, because you know the Word of God is full of healthy life perspective. Full of it. And what we want to do is establish, or it'll be a revival on your identity. You will know who you are and whose you are and what you should do. It'll dictate everything that you do when you know and have a revival of identity, of perspective. There's been a lot of perspectives that have come out lately that I was like, wow, I didn't know that. And it's amazing. The Bible does say to be not conformed, right, to the pattern of this world, but be renewed in your mind. That's a new perspective, a new way of thinking. And when you hang out with Holy Spirit, that's what will drive that new perspective, that new thinking. So, what is your perspective on you? What is your perspective on being a Christian? What is your perspective on your family, your spouse, your children? What's your perspective? What's your perspective about your job? What's your perspective about your city, your state, your country? Now, I would like to challenge you with any perspective that is negative. Any perspective that is negative is not of God and will not bring life. So I believe we as a body, when people are talking to me, I was like, wow, or I say sometimes I'm like, wow, I don't, that perspective is hard. And they'll be like, well, why? You know, because I don't feel the life in it. He did give us two choices, life and death.
That's right. First and blessing.
Yes, and he says, choose life.
Yeah.
A lot of your perspective is choosing, is deciding that, oh man, I'm not going to be crabby. I have a right to be, but I'm not going to be. Okay? Like I said earlier, choosing the hard right choice than the easy wrong choice. What? Did I say something wrong?
No?
Okay. Yes, sometimes it can be a hard one, right? Because
yeah.
I'm angry. Or I'm super frustrated. Because
yeah.
Somebody come and cussed me out. Or, you know, somebody did something mean to me. I'm just making this up. It's all true. Or, you know, my husband says something mean to me. Well, not that he would ever do that. But when those things happen, you have to make the hard right choice. And there's way harder things in life than just those simple things. But I believe he's pouring out, like Barb was saying, and even Lauren weeks ago was, see the good, see God in everything and everyone. See. Get that perspective of seeing him in everything you do. And I believe that we are going to become so aware of the glory of his goodness. It says, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of the glory of God. Phew! It's full. His glory is full in here. He's making us aware. What a service this morning, right?
Yeah.
Whew, I thank you, God. I thank you, God. So, what I wanted to talk about is your perspective on being a Christian. What is your perspective on being a Christian? And my guiding verse is going to be 2 Corinthians 5:17. And I know you've all read this before, probably most of you, but we'll read it again. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Yeah, you can raise your hands. You can shout. Yes, the old is gone. Okay? And this is what I'm going to spend my time talking about today. Because if anyone is in union with Christ, okay, salvation. Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Amazing, amazing. John 3:16, say it with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So you made a choice, and maybe you haven't. And you know what? I'm going to give you a chance today. You can come up and receive him as your Savior. But he so loved us that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him, you recognize that, wow, I want that. I want that life in my life. And then he says, you will not perish, but you'll have everlasting life. Do you know what everlasting life is?
Yeah.
It's not just your ticket to heaven. It's not just your ticket to heaven. Everlasting life in John 17:3 says it's to know him. And this is everlasting life. This is eternal life. And it's to know him. You spend the rest of your days knowing him. How many love the ride of knowing him? Whew. Right? It's so much fun. So salvation, that's what salvation is him recognizing that he died for your sins. He rose again, and now he lives in you.
Hallelujah.
Amen? And we're going to cover this more. So it says, but I want you to always remember this. It's in union with him. In union with Christ, just like the song, you're so close. It's like the air I breathe. He abides in you, you abide in him. He's so close. So it says, he is a new creation. Let's read, I'll start again. If anyone is in union with Christ, he is a new creation. This is the finished work of the cross. Kainos is the new creation. It means, it doesn't just mean as a replacement for the old, okay? It means a new kind. It means unprecedented. Okay, so an unprecedented means without previous instance, never known before or experienced or unparalleled. Whew, this is who you are. Amen. You're novel, uncommon, unheard of. That excites me.
Hallelujah.
The world has never seen anything like you. Because now the dead spirit has come alive with his spirit, and you, and you, and you, no one is alike. Now Holy Spirit's in you, and we have never seen you before.
Come on now.
That's exciting. That's exciting. Yes.
I got to tell you, in that, when I got born again, the Lord showed me my dead self slumped on the floor behind me. And as he walked with me and he did only what only he could do, that dead thing, come on now, my old self got further and further and further.
Come on.
Come on.
Come on. That's... I hope you heard her, but the dead thing gets further and further and further away from you. We are a new creation. You are a new creation. A metamorphosis happened. Okay, so let's read some scripture. 1 Peter 1:23. Ooh, she got that. You have been regenerated, born again, not from a mortal origin, seed or sperm, but from one that is immortal by the ever-living and lasting word of God. That's the metamorphosis. His DNA is now in you. And I like it, a little earlier in 2 Corinthians 5, it says, we don't look at man after the flesh. Now that you know who you are, it's amazing because I can't look at you the same. Because now when I look at you, I see a new creation. And it's just like what God is. When God sees you, who does he see? Jesus. Right. He sees Jesus. So now it says, we know no one simply as a man. We don't evaluate people by what they have or how they look, because they are his. And this is the beauty of it, is because we can keep calling the gold out of each other, the goodness out of each other, the God out of each other. And that's what can strengthen a body so much, is we, because it says to build each other up. You know, sometimes when I'm forgetting, I'm just like, okay, hey, Briley, what again? What, you know, and she can say, Mom, you're more than a conqueror. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Yes. And you're like, yes, yes, I forgot. But and another good thing is, write down what God has done for you. Because when you can't think, or maybe you can't call a friend, it's so good to go back and be like, oh, that's what he did. That's what he did for me. Thank you, God. That's what, because I'm not saying you can't get into a hard spot. But that's the beauty of a body. It's the beauty of our family. Amen? So don't look at anyone else other than how you see Jesus, and call the gold out of people. Colossians 3:4. I love the Mirror translation. So listen to this. The exact life in Christ is now repeated in us. The exact life in Christ is now repeated in us. We are being co-revealed in the same bliss, in the same glory. Whew, I can feel it just boiling over me. We are joined in oneness with him. Just as his life reveals you, your life reveals him. Did you hear all the testimonies that we've been having? Have you seen God in those testimonies? Thank you, Jesus. If you ever have thought that God is not moving, rethink it. Just because we can't see, or we don't see like something majorly happening in here, he's moving and changing and metamorphosizing us, if that's a word. You cannot encounter him and not change. Old things have passed away. The old refers to everything that is part of our old nature. Our natural pride, love of sin, reliance on works, our former opinions, habits, and passions. Most significantly, the supreme love of self and self-righteousness, self-promotion, and self-justification. All of a sudden, you start to see God. It doesn't matter about you, but it has everything to do with you. Because you just want to see others live their life for him in the power and the glory that a new creation walks in. The old things died. They were nailed to the cross with our sin nature. We put off the old man with his deeds, that's Colossians 3:9, and put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness, Ephesians 4:24. When you've accepted him, put off that old man, and you've put on the new. And that put on is like you're immersed. You're immersed in the new creation. All gone. Our sin nature is gone. I liked what, dead. Dead men don't care. They have no offense, right? You can kick them. They don't do anything. Let me tell you, it is so freeing to be dead to our sin nature. and to realize that it's gone and walking in the new creation. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. If you can just hang out on that scripture for a while. You've been crucified with Christ. And you were raised to life. That's why we get baptized. Because we say, yes, I was crucified, I died, and I'm raised to new life. Because in him we live, right? And move and have our being. So now I'm going to come down. That was the exciting part, except for the old being gone away is amazing. But I want to get into lies. Some of the lies that we can think. You know, when you hear about salvation, what do you think? When you hear about a new creation, what do you think? Do you think, I don't feel new. I don't think I walk like that. I don't, you know, sometimes we get into this negative flow of thinking. When you hear that the old is gone and the new has come, what do you think? That I need a lot of work. You know, it's so good to read the scripture and know what it says. But it's another whole journey to say, God, what does that mean? What does that look like in my life? Because I guarantee you, a lot of us think, that's not me. Or I don't live the new creation life. And I think in some cases, we identify more with the old man, the old nature. What is your perspective on the finished works of the cross? I like what Barb said. Jesus said, it's finished, it's done. What is your perspective on being a new creation? What is your perspective on an effortless union with him? Effortless union with him. I was praying about this, I think Friday, as I was coming home from vacation, and I felt like Jesus just came to me, and he, you know, I was just praying about it, and he says, I so long to see my people know my heart and know the life that I give and know how I move and how I see them, because he sees you with such love. He sees you with such a heart of thankfulness and how much he loves you. And he so longs, because he's like, that's what I died for. Is that they could live in life and joy and peace and happiness. And I was like, God, let it so be. And like Paul's prayer, he said he labors to see Christ formed in us. He labors to see him formed. Some of the lives we believe, I've heard from even Christians, I don't know if I'm going to go to heaven. I don't know if I'm saved. And some have gone to church all their lives. But with the sin conscious life, sin nature, we believe, or more people say they believe the lie that they have a sin nature and that they cannot live life without sinning. We live a sin-conscious life. So what we do is everything we think, you know, I've done this wrong, I've done this wrong, I've done this, you know, oh, I can't, you know, I used to beat myself up because I would not read my Bible enough or not feel like I prayed enough and not feel like I spent, you know, enough time at the prayer meetings. And, you know, if the enemy can keep you focused on what you do wrong, it's an amazing vicious cycle. Because you want to know what I used to come up to the altar, like, oh God, change me, change me, change me. I'm so bad. I'm, you know, and I don't know if maybe part of this, but I had a preacher come up to me and says, oh, I can't pray for you. You're not living for the Lord. And I was like, okay. I turned around and walked away. I was like, wow, I don't know if that's God's heart. But when you are focused on your wrong all the time, it keeps you in this vicious cycle that leads to more lies, right? You can never do anything right. And then we start quoting scriptures like, I'm so unworthy, or I'm the best of all sinners. You know, I'm a sinner saved by grace, instead of the opposite of what is new creation. It's a whole different perspective. Yeah, you're not a sinner anymore because he died for your sins. And he took, well, we'll get to that. But you get stuck in the pattern, also the pattern of trying to change yourself or fix yourself. Like I said, I would stand at the altar, change me, God, change me, God. And then I remember one Sunday, God said, I've changed you. And I stopped and I was like, what? I've been going through years of trying to get change. And he says, I've changed you. It's done at the cross. It is finished. And when you do something wrong, you can open a door for the devil to harass you. Okay, so you live in that. Oh, now I've done this, so now the devil has all access to me. Okay? Another lie. And then you fall into the works mentality. Maybe, you know, I'll try reading my Bible more. I'll try praying more. I'll go to church more. I haven't been to church for a month. I'll try. Or I'll go do good things for people. That should really turn God to me. That will really help him to have favor and choose me. Then you start to hear the questions because you're reading your Bible. And then you start hearing the lies of, man, I don't even hear him. Do I even hear him? You know, do I even see him? Do I even feel him? A lot of times I'll have people, I don't feel him at all. You know, my first thing would say, don't say that. Say if there's even a little drop of him in here, that I'll feel him. Amen? Then you start to question, is he even with me? Does he even care? And you guys, you know what? All these things are what the disciples went through too. Yeah. You know, they were in the boat. The water's filling. There's a big storm. And what is Jesus doing? He's laying on the pillow. And what did they come to him and say? Don't you even care? So don't think that what you're thinking is like so bad. Because it's not. It's like what we have to learn to work through, what we have to learn to mature through. And then you can fall into condemnation, shame, guilt, because now you don't see, but those are some of the lies that you can believe. Now, I want to go back over all of those, but I want to tell you what the word says. So it says you get stuck in these patterns. Oops, I think I got it back for. So if you're saying, am I truly saved, or if I've gone to heaven, you would only have these questions if you have a sin-conscious life. And I like this because when you have a sin-conscious life, I think most of your issues resolve around that, or I mean, evolve around that question of you focus more on the wrong instead of the right. So I want to read this scripture. Romans 6:6. It says that our old life, or our old self, was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. Okay? You can lead a sinless life. Jesus told the woman that was accused of adultery, go and sin no more. And this takes that relationship, that union with him, that's the breathing in and the breathing out. Because instantly he will show you, no, don't think that way, because that's not going to help you. No, don't. And he's amazing. He keeps you in life. And he cleanses us from all sin and unrighteousness. These are scriptures. He forgives and removes our sin, our past, present, and future. Okay, their sins and lawless deeds, he said he will remember no more. And he nailed our sin debt to the cross. That's what the word says about your sin. Do you have to worry about your sin anymore? Thank you. No, I can go back over it. But one of the things that I noticed when I was reading this, it says he cleanses us. He, by his blood, has cleansed us. So when you're in this, you know, thinking about everything you've done wrong, you can bring that to him. Because he says that you can boldly approach his throne of grace, where you will receive mercy. Why mercy? Because it might not be something so good that he likes. Or that how many of us like to just walk around and say, wow, I did this wrong? You don't. But you'll receive mercy. How powerful is that? You can bring anything to him, and you'll receive mercy, and you'll find grace to help in your time of need. Grace is his ability. Would you rather do it by your ability or his ability? You've been saved by grace. You've been saved by his ability. That's what grace is. He empowers you to live a holy life. Like I said, if there's something you don't like that you're doing, bring it to God. Bring it to God. Adam hid, didn't he? They hid because of their sin. And God is saying, no, come to me. I'm your father. I'll redeem you, is what he said to Adam. And then he sent Jesus. He will take care of us. He cleanses us. Bring it to him if there's something you don't like. Hang out with him and you will see it change. You will see it change. Now, one of the things that when you've done something wrong, that you've opened yourself up to an attack or to. Now, this is partly true, but don't get your focus so much on that if I've done something wrong, the enemy's going to attack me. Because that will open you up more for attack. Okay? Otherwise, that leaves the gospel powerless. If every second something happens and you're opening it, he says, I'm hidden in Christ. I'm hidden in Christ. The enemy cannot see me, cannot find me. Amen? I'm hidden. In him I live and move and have my being. Now, falling into the works mentality. Ephesians 2, 8 to 9 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Amen? It's not a result of your works. I was so good, so he had to save me. No, he said, I'm saving you by grace, by my ability. I cleanse you by my ability. Do we have to do anything? No. Most religions, they say, do this, do that. But Jesus said, done. Amen? Amen. Now, when you start to question if you hear God or see him or feel him, he says, my sheep hear my voice. Okay, remember, this is all by faith, and I'm going to talk about this. But I like, if you have seen him, it says in the word, Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So read Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Jesus, all over. You will know what the Father looks like, how the Father loves, how the Father moves, how he acts, how he sees you. And in feeling him, I just always, in your presence is fullness of joy. And you can tell, when we come to worship, there's joy. There's peace. I think peace is probably the number one thing that when I've walked somebody through feeling him, they'll say, wow, I felt such peace. And that, and there's no place like his peace, because it passes all understanding. And even if you're questioning, God, are you even there? I've done this. He says, he will never leave you nor forsake you. God is always with you. He loves you so much. And there's that effortless union with him. You know, you don't have to tell a couple who just fell in love not to hang out with each other. You know, don't call. You know, sometimes it was funny because I'd ask some of the youth, you're just so tired at church. And I'd be like, oh, were you staying up all night talking to, you know, sister so-and-so? You know, they're like, but you do, when you fall in love with God, you do things that are unusual. You'll talk all night with God. You'll have to read his word. You will do things. You'll have to hang out. And that's probably one of my things too, is find somebody that's going, that just loves God with all that they are. If you're struggling with any of this, find somebody that loves God and say, hey, can we hang out and just read the Bible together? Or will you, you know, talk about God to me? Because your life will begin to change. And you'll begin to fall in love. And you'll start seeing yourself, because I sit up here and say, read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow, grow, grow. And it's so true. But if it's out of religious or religion, it might just become a song to you. You know, and then we were talking about the condemnation. Romans 8, 2 says, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk according to the Holy Spirit. And this will be your life, because Holy Spirit was put within you. And we just spent all summer long talking about the fruit of the Holy Spirit in your life. And that is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. All these things are within you, making you the powerhouse new creation that you are. Don't worry about making a mistake. He will convict you, like I was saying before. And I've told you this before. I was sitting at my table, I was thinking about a woman, and I was like, wow, she's just so drab. And then I look over and Jesus is sitting there. And he's like, I just love her.
Come on now.
And I was like, oh, I know that face. He loves me the same way. And it melted my heart. See, this is the change he brings. Is because now I can look at people and you can be who he made you to be. And you don't have to be anything different. And he will change you. It's amazing to love, to be free from judgment, judging one another, because we don't look or act the same way. The joy of the gospel, guys, is to explore and to understand being a new creation. It's so exciting, and this is what I think we've been trying to do in all our messages, is know who we are. It's knowing the transformation you went through, and there is so much more to know. I like what Tracy said. I don't have it all right. I don't have it all right. But man, can we just keep plugging and say, wow, more and more freedom and happiness and joy that I can walk in because of who he is. So you are a supernatural human being living in divine union with God with a limitless capacity to grow. Guys, there's so much more to know of him. So back to the works mentality. When you hear there's no more works, I felt like Holy Spirit was just saying this to me, that you will do no more works, okay? There's no more works. There is nothing more you can do to please God or gain his favor or get him to do something. He's already done it all. We're not trying to get God to move. This is a love relationship. God, what are you doing? How are you moving? What? Oh, you want to touch that person? Oh, okay, you want me to go pray? Oh, great. It's a love relationship and then a love relationship. And the more you know of his love, the more you stay in union with him and know that he is in you. And, you know, there's times, like, we went on a prayer walk yesterday. I was walking, I was like, okay, God, who you want to, oh, hi, Jim. We met a guy that turned 90 yesterday. But just, I want to bring life. We want to bring life. You are the light of the world. So there's, when you hear the no more works, it's not that you don't have to do anything. Okay, it's this, you can't do any more to please God. He died on the cross and he says, I am so pleased with you. And this is one of the things that I thought was so incredible revelation to me was in John 6:29. It says, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent. That's the work. That's the work you get to do, is believe. I'm more than a conqueror. Yes. But I tripped and fell. I'm more than a conqueror. I'm going to believe what he says in his word. I like what the Amplified said. This is the work, the service that God asks of you, that you believe in the one whom he has sent, that you cleave to, trust, rely on, and have faith in his messenger. Believing what his son has said and is saying and will say is what is bringing his kingdom and his will to earth. Faith, you guys, is the weapon that combats all lies. It's the shield. Right? It extinguishes all the fiery darts of the wicked one. All the fear, the anxiety, discouragement, depression, pain, faith. Now, faith to me is your relationship with God. It requires trusting and believing. It says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For those who come to him must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. Without a relationship with God, it's impossible to please him. Without trusting him, it's impossible. Without believing, it's impossible. I like what he goes on to say. It says, for those who come to him must believe that he is. He is what? That he's your joy. That he's your strength. That he's your source. That he is your everything. You have to believe. It says that our work is to believe. So when you walk and you don't see it, because what is it? We walk by faith and not by sight. Let the superior rule over the inferior. Let him, rule over what's happening here. Because we don't walk by this. We don't walk by what we see. But we can keep speaking what he said. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. This is your relationship with him. When he speaks to you, you believe. Take those words and believe it. I've had plenty of times where I've been in a situation where I'll even say, my nephew passed away from fentanyl overdose. And I got in my prayer room and I said, God, what? And I was like, I need something. Give me something. Because this one hurts. And I'm not going to go into the whole story, but he gave me something. And I have such life and peace and joy knowing that he is a good father. He is a good, good father. So when you hear the word that he's speaking to you, it will build your faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. When he speaks those words, you know it's the evidence of things hoped for. And you know it's the evidence of things not seen yet. If you can believe, remember, our work is to believe, to have faith in him. All things are possible to him that believes. There's a place in Jesus where all things are possible. Because whatever you ask in prayer, Jesus is saying these things in the word, because whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive if you have faith. Guys, it's not magic. Faith is not a magic potion. It's what I hope for. It's relationship. It's you hearing him. The one thing that's so amazing is when You can ask God a question. God, what, you know, what is faith, or what is grace, or what is your kingdom? What in, and then he answers through someone else. Might be preaching, or maybe your child, or you keep your antenna up always of God speaking to you. Always of him speaking to you. Because he might not just say it to you. And I always say, when I am talking with him, if I don't hear anything, that's okay. I'm going to be alert and listening. But when he does speak to me, it sounds like me in my head. Okay, so just so you, it can be thoughts. And then when you start developing your relationship with him, you'll start deciphering, oh, that's him. That's, oh, yes, that's him. You, between you and him. I know in a lot of cases, he will use different words to me. You know, like words I would not use. And I think Lisa even said it a couple weeks ago. He said intrinsically, I forgot what else she said. Anybody remember? But she's used the word intrinsically. And she's like, I knew it had to be God because I don't use that word. You know, so it's so awesome. When you start to decipher, this is the journey of learning to be the new creation and hearing him and being able to be like, by faith, because he spoke to me, this is going to happen. Amen? You will move mountains by your faith in God. Even when you fall into various trials, know that the testing of your faith produces patience. It produces patience. But that will work in you a work that will make you perfect and complete. Man, he's so amazing. Lacking nothing. Our faith in him is the victory that has overcome the world. So, I wanted to show you this. I saw this on, I don't know, Michael Todd. Does anybody listen to Michael Todd? I think it's Transformation Church. Anybody? No? Anyway, good. Then nobody's seen it. This is you with all your sin. Orange sin. You're the vessel. Beautiful vessel. Now you've given your heart. Whew. You've given your heart to the Lord because you recognize that, wow, I need to get rid of some baggage. So you start reading your Bible, coming to church. Has anything changed? You start knowing him more and more. And as he pours and pours and pours into you, what happens? He just keeps cleansing you. Whew! Now, your pain, your addiction falls off when he's so overflowing in you. Depression, shame, fear. Condemnation falls off. He keeps pouring into you. Are overflowing all the time. Do you know that? You're overflowing. So what happens is this. You become cleaner and cleaner and more full of life and more full of joy and more full. And look what happens. You can't even put the sin back in you. It, because he just keeps overflowing and overflowing. Isn't that amazing? I loved the visual. Because sometimes you feel like, nope, this is never gonna change. But he does change you. He is amazing. So what I would like you to do is stand up. Thank you, Jesus. And I would like, I'm going to pray for everyone, but if you want to know Jesus, if you want to give your heart to Jesus today, I would like you to come up on this side, because there's going to be people that are going to come and pray for you. If you want to come up and just say, God, show me the wonders of your new creation. I'm going to open the rest of the altar. Show you the wonders of creation and just open your heart to him. If you want to come up and say, wow, I have this perspective. What does God say about it? I'll try to help you as good as I can. But sometimes when people come to the altar, they have a perspective that just needs life spoken into it. That just needs the word of God, right? Because thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. So I'm going to pray, and Andrew, if you could put on some music, that would be amazing. So Father, I just thank you for who you have made us to be, the new creation. God, the power, the love, the joy that you have put within us, the power that you have put within us. It's that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead that dwells in us to make us overcome. To make us overcome the world, to overcome the trials. God, that we would consider them all joy because we know whose we are and we know who we are and who you've made us to be. God, open our eyes. Show us new things in you. Show us the wonders of being a new creation. I love you. I honor you. And I thank you for what you're doing here. Bless them as they go. And may they encounter you in a way they have never encountered you before. In Jesus' name.